Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great end-of-the-year deals too, and great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that makes it all pay off. Every step of the way, routine maintenance, so important. And the difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Well, I don't care whether you like somebody or not, or you're not crazy about how they conduct themselves in public, or you're not crazy about their persona, you don't like what team they're on, you don't root for injuries. And Aaron Rodgers has had, obviously, a terrific career, charmed in many ways, but that was bad last night. You know, it ended up, his season's done. It is an Achilles. Hard to come back from when you're young. Even harder to come back from when you're older. And, again, you may root against somebody. You may not like them because they're there on the opposing team. The guy may be the NFL man of the year and you boo them. Oh, that's right. That's that fan base. Kind of a scary group you're with. But you never, never root for an injury. And it was just, and the NFL had based a chunk of their schedule in prime time around the fact that he was going to be there. And you could hear the enthusiasm in the stands. So that was difficult. But it is an Achilles, and he is done for the year. And, yeah. And by the way, it has an impact on the Packers because now that he's out because of what happened, I think it changes the compensation package for him too. I mean, that's a side note, but still. And now we will turn our attention to one of the Aaron Rodgers haters, who really does a great job of specializing in on-air hate, not control.
But it was stunning, just simply because of the fact it was four plays in, and it was a cool moment, him coming out with the American flag and all that, and then for that to happen four plays in, yeah, that's not good to see.
You know what? You could tell right away. My first thought was, when I saw. They showed the replay of, I thought he went down odd on it to begin with, but when I saw the replay, I went, oh boy, that might be an Achilles.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy. Yeah, that's awful. So you feel awful about that. So now Wilson's the quarterback the rest of the way. And if you're the NFL, with all due respect to Zach Wilson, again, Aaron Rodgers is the Dallas Cowboys. Aaron Rodgers is the New York Yankees. There's a segment of the population that loves him, loves the Cowboys, loves the Yankees, loves the Lakers. There's a segment of the population that wants to see the Lakers crash and burn, see the Cowboys crash and burn, see the Yankees crash and burn, and see Aaron Rodgers as a player on the field crash and burn. Nobody wants to see him hurt. You don't want to see anybody hurt.
And I think what made it more stunning is it's the Achilles. It's that's a tough injury to come back from, especially when you're older. And we've seen players do it. I think he ultimately will and play next year, but you still don't know until he's back on the field, probably at the earliest next spring.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant's one of the older players I saw come back from an Achilles, and it was great. Usually it takes about a year and a half where you're finally going again. I've seen this with Tim Frazier. I've seen this with Adisa Isaac. So it's not like I haven't seen it up close and personal. I kind of feel like a year and a half is finally when you get going again. Like you can play, but like you're back to where you were before. Now, at the age of 40 plus, you have to wonder. You don't know. But by the way, Kyle McCord will be the starting quarterback the remainder of the season for Ohio State. He had been splitting some reps with Devin Brown, but now Kyle McCord is the starting quarterback at Ohio State. Because I don't really think there's much more to say about Rodgers except telling everybody that he is out for the year. Cam Hayward out 8 weeks for the Steelers. Deontay Johnson's going to miss a few weeks. And there's the story right there with those guys. So what, there's besides this, there usually is a laundry list of things that you can't stand. So,
well, and related to this, again, this is not me ripping Rodgers for getting hurt. This is me ripping everything, all of the hoopla around it and the reaction to it. I've heard Dan Patrick being sports depressed. I've heard Adam Schefter tweet out, this is the most devastating injury to a team and fan base in NFL history. I've seen stuff like that the whole day. Get a grip, people. Enough. I can think of worse things, injuries that have hurt franchises and fan bases. And secondly, let's not, it was stunning in the fact that, yes, it happened 4 plays into the game after all the hype. I get that. I just said that. But let's not all act surprised that he got hurt, period. Because this guy's gotten hurt the last couple of years. And it's one of the reasons why I said that the Jets aren't going to be as good as people think they will be this year. Because, number one, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been able to stay healthy. Not only do I not think he's the same player as he was a couple years ago, but the number one thing is he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's had serious injuries the last several seasons, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got hurt again this year and it ruined all the Jets' plans. It just happened to happen. It was 4 plays into game one. But let's not act like this is the worst thing in the world we've ever seen in sports injuries and stuff like that. This should have been expected based on this guy's track record. So spare me the sports depressed and this is the most devastating injury ever, this and that. Enough.
Well, the problem that we have in sports media today, and it is a huge problem, I feel like one of the aspects that we have to bring to the table, maybe I'm just very old school about this, is that we have to bring to the table perspective. And it has to be level-headed perspective. And because people are attempting to get as many clicks as possible, because that appears to be the name of the game, let's get clicks. You've got to get people interested. You've got to write a headline in such a way where it's intriguing but ambiguous so that you'll click on it. I need you to hear what I have to say because I'm going to give you a hot take. Well, guess what? Sports and life, not about hot takes. I mean, this is obviously, for the Jets organization, a devastating injury because it's been an organization that has been fighting to get to relevancy, and they felt that this was the deal that got them to relevancy. And they brought in Randall Cobb, and they brought in Alan Lazard, they brought in Nathaniel Hackett, So they brought in all these players around him that understood the Green Bay system that Rodgers ran, and they were all in on this, and this was going to be the move that got them maybe not to the promised land, because you need a lot of help and you have to have some luck along the way to get to the promised land, no matter what you are, who you are, what team you are. You have to have some good fortune in. But it was going to be something that at least got them to relevance. So now you're in the conversation to maybe be one of those teams to have the good fortune and advance deep. But So this is a really tough injury. I mean, really tough. It's tough for the organization. Is it the most devastating injury in the history of sports? Jeez, I don't. I think it all depends on your team. It all depends on your team. You know, everybody follows their own team along the way. How devastated were Phillies fans when Bryce Harper couldn't play the first 6 weeks of the season? You know, how devastated in terms of the ability to pitch are Angels fans currently because Shohei Ohtani has a UCL? Right? I mean, you start going through the long list. How devastated were the Giants when Saquon Barkley tore his ACL? You go back through the history of injuries. You know, John Unitas hurt his shoulder. You know, Earl Morrill had to be the quarterback. There have been injuries over the course of time that, one week before the 75 postseason, Jim Rice, who's having a phenomenal rookie year, ends up being a Hall of Famer's career, gets hit by a pitch, breaks his wrist, can't play. Tony Canigliaro got hit in the face with a pitch in 1967 in the pennant race when a pitch got away from Jack Hamilton, unfortunately. Right? Devastating. Right? Had to be carried off in a stretcher. Had to miss the entire 68 season. Missed the World Series. Suddenly, instead of Tony Canigliaro out there, you got Jose Tartabull. There have been devastating injuries over the course of time. Mickey Mantle running in the outfield at Yankee Stadium, right? Defers to Joe DiMaggio, hits a storm drain, wrecks his knee. Mantle had based a lot of things in his life on speed. Bobby Orr getting knee injuries. Okay, cancer for Mario Lemieux. And you want to go through the long list? You need to be able to bring perspective to the table. You feel awful for Aaron Rodgers. I feel awful for the Jets organization. I feel awful for Jets fans. But we have to lend perspective here and not do the hot take thing and just go way overboard because it's a hot take. It's the most devastating injury in the history of sports. It depends on who you are and what your team happens to be. Right?
Exactly. And you're also ignoring DeMar Hamlin, Tua's injuries last year, especially the first one. I mean,
there's just a long list depending on who it happens to be at the time. And it's like, okay, how devastated were the Cowboys last year, and they didn't lose him for the year, but Dak Prescott. The 49ers played last year with their third quarterback, right? He's now their first. But it's stuff like that that just the sports industry cannot become a caricature of itself. Right? And that's one of the issues I'm having right now with that's one of the reasons why I don't watch pregame shows, why I don't watch postgame shows. I didn't watch game day last week because I feel like it's become a caricature of itself. I mean, I like entertainment a lot. Enjoy entertainment a lot. So I don't mind a three-hour show where there's some entertainment elements in it, but at the same time, don't I want to learn something before it's over with? And that's why this is awful, the most devastating. Look, there have been a lot of devastating injuries, unfortunately, in the history of sports. Unfortunately. And injuries you wouldn't even think about. Cincinnati Bengals had a terrific young quarterback when they were in infancy as a franchise that they drafted out of the University of Cincinnati named Greg Cook. And this guy was going to be the guy that they thought was going to take them up. Okay. Jack and his team, which won 4 Super Bowls in 6 years, probably wins a fifth one if Terry Bradshaw doesn't get hurt. And they had to play with Mike Kruzig at quarterback. Okay. Unfortunately, stuff like that happens. I'm trying to think. Was it the when the Cowboys crushed the Bills in the Super Bowl? People forget Jim Kelly didn't play much in that game. He got hurt. Frank Reich quarterbacked a good chunk of it. I mean, things happen, and that's the unfortunate part. I mean, how many Stanley Cups might the Bruins win if Bobby Orr's healthy the entire time? I don't know. And that's, you know, and it's your team. That's where it becomes personal. This is the most devastating because it's your team. And is the NFL a better league when Aaron Rodgers is playing? Yeah, of course it is. It's one of the top players. Been one of the top players since the late 2000s. Conversely, if you're the Bills, and another four turnover night for Josh Allen, and Josh Allen's a good quarterback, but like for example, I'll give you an example last night. He scrambled out of the pocket. I think it was late in the first half. They were in the final drive. He dives over two guys, 7 yards away from the first down marker. Why? Hey, if I'm Sean McDermott, I don't need you doing that. Just take what you need. But that's, you know, I mean, if Jalen Hurts, please, I'm not, okay, but say he gets hurt, Eagles fans would be exponentially, right? But Rodgers, we get Jalen Hurts. It's your guy. It's your quarterback. And a lot is pinned on him for the Eagles to go forward. And we already know that you don't like the backup quarterback.
That is very true.
But you don't like a lot of things, so it's just, I mean, I'm kind of having a hard time with your perspective on life.
Bingo! Right.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
I mean, telling me this is the most devastating injury ever is the wrong person to say it to. After all, along with Jack Ham, we were the two broadcasters when Adam Talaferro went down at Ohio State.
There you go.
Again, our job is to give perspective. It is not to do hot takes, so we've got the hottest take out there that people are going to like magnets. I will not change. I will not do that. It's just, I think it's unfair to the audience. Our job is to inform and talk to the audience. It is not to throw red meat at you. It's just not, I just think that's wrong.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great deals, too. Terrific warranties and a great service department that backs it all up. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. By the way, when it's all said and done, the deal to send Aaron Rodgers to the Jets involved a first-round pick if Aaron Rodgers played in 65% of the snaps this year for the Jets. So that's not going to happen. So there you go. Just so you know. Just one of the side stories on this entire story. There has to be other things along the way that you don't like. I mean,
well, as we turn our attention to the Fighting Illini this week, I've come up with a beef against Coach Brett Bielema. I don't know if you saw this.
Brett Bielema, yeah.
I don't know if you saw this. I guess he's mentioned this in his press conference today when he's asked about Penn State. He said they do a good job recruiting, and they're allowed to do things at Penn State that allow them to get skilled players. Man, get over yourself. What is this? Is this like open fire on Penn State now because they're a contender? First, we have Pat Narduzzi at Pitt taking shots before the season starts. Now we got this guy getting ready for Penn State this week in Illinois, taking shots at the way Penn State recruits. Get up with the times. Dude, this is NIL century now of college football. Say what you want about Stephen Adams before then, but even that, look, I have three letters for you when it comes to that. S, E, and C, if you want to even go down that path. But guess what? Now it's NIL time. So it's either you catch up with the times or you get eaten. That's it. Get better. Beat them.
And he won the last time. But he knows the SEC. He coached at Arkansas.
So he should even know better than to say what he said there.
Yeah. I don't worry about that stuff. I mean, that doesn't matter. That could be a message to his own fan base about NIL, for all you know. You know what I mean?
Be a very poor indirect way of putting it, but I see your point.
I will say this about Brett. Just personal observation. He is a far more mature coach and far more mature in approach on and off the field than he was when he was with Wisconsin. Arkansas, while being a decent experience for him, was a humbling experience for him. And then he went to the Patriots, and he was with them for, I think, a year before he got the Illinois job. And I know people that have been around him and known him a long time, and they told me the same thing, that they feel like he handles himself differently. When he was at Wisconsin, especially early in his tenure, you know, they'd win games. You know, it wasn't like he didn't go to Rose Bowls. He did. They'd win games, and he would be talking about the job that we did as a staff to do this and this, and what we did as a staff. We prepared them this way. It's like, okay. And it got to the point, like, okay, don't have to keep telling me you're a good coach. I see you're winning, so I feel like you and your staff are doing a great job. You can spread the credit around a little bit. Or if they lost, they didn't do what we said they needed to do. And that's what he would say. It's like, oh, brother. He is different in that way now. I think he handles that stuff better now. I think he has a better perspective on it now. I think he's more secure in himself as a head coach now. He doesn't have to prove to the world. Now, and they had a good year last year. I mean, they went into Ann Arbor last year, and they gave Michigan all they could handle. It's a little bit different now. They've changed quarterbacks. Another year, another quarterback for him. And it's another transfer. They had Tommy DeVito out of Syracuse last year. They got Altmyer this year out of Ole Miss. They had Peters out of Michigan his first year. They don't have Chase Brown in the backfield. He's gone to the NFL. So now they have Reggie Love and they have McCray in the backfield. Still have Isaiah Williams. Good player. Really good player. And is a real threat out there. And the defensively, this is where I know that he's talked about that they have concerns, because they were expected to be one of the top defenses, which again, against Michigan last year, they played a terrific game in Ann Arbor. They came very close to knocking them off. But Weatherspoon had been at that corner spot, and he ended up being one of the top 10 picks in the draft going to Seattle. When you have a guy that is a lockdown corner like that, it really, there's a domino effect to that that is so important. They had a lot of takeaways last year. In the first two games of the season, and especially, I'll speak more to the Kansas game, which was last Friday night. Daniels gets back in the lineup, and he'd been, you know, his back had been, you know, he kind of tweaked it a little bit. And Daniels comes back, and his ability to move just drove the Illinois defense nuts. Now, remember, Illinois' defense was so good last year that the defensive coordinator ended up being hired as the head coach at Purdue. So now Aaron Henry is the defensive coordinator at Illinois. So there's a lot of elements that go into this, where through the first two games, they're 1-1. They have not been able to get off to fast starts in either game. They have played terrific second halves in each game, or at least better. Maybe not terrific. They play better second halves than first halves. But that's one element about college football that is so different, is you really change up the personnel so much these days. And do you have the right mix? They're going to be playing at home. It is not sold out, by the way. They're still selling tickets for it. It'll still be a big crowd, but it's not sold out. And we're going to talk to Brian Barnhart in the next half hour. But anybody who's around him or has known him for a long time, they see the change in him as to how he handles things now. He's a smart guy. He's an organized guy. He is. He did a terrific job at Wisconsin. I was really surprised when he took the Arkansas job. And, you know, he was able to get Arkansas to bowl games, but in that division, you're not going to go far in that division for obvious reasons. It's kind of difficult to get over the hurdle of Texas A&M, get over the hurdle of LSU, get over the hurdle of Auburn, get over the hurdle of Alabama. It's just that simple. I remember when he took the job, I believe I said on the show, he says, well, I'm really surprised by this. And again, I'm not going to pretend I know the inner workings of what the dynamics were financially at Wisconsin or the dynamics were with Barry Alvarez, whatever. I don't know. I said, but when he took the job, I remember distinctly saying on the show, he said, he just took a job to be the fifth best team in the SEC West. And typically, that's about what they were. That didn't mean he wasn't doing a good job. You can do a really great job at Arkansas and still be fourth or fifth in the West. And they finally let him go, and then he spent a year with the Patriots, then he took the Illinois job. You can see there is a perceivable difference in his press conference personality compared to when he was at Wisconsin. And I mean that as a compliment. And you hate me for saying that.
No, I get it.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, again, this is from being around a long time. And it does get to a point where I really don't care what... It's amazing over time. Time gives you a perspective. Okay. Do I care what a commentator says on a pregame show?
Yeah, that would be a hard no.
I mean, do I care what is said in a press conference?
Also a hard no.
Do I care how you play the game?
Yes.
Yeah. It's all about the game. It's not about the words leading up to a game. It's not about the words of some commentator who's not playing in the game and has no influence on the game. It's not about bulletin board material. Oh, can you believe that? The bulletin board. So you get, guess what? You go out in the first play, you get your mouth smacked, right? You're not sitting there going, hey, how about that bulletin board? it's not the way sports happens to be. I mean, I know that there's a lot of cliches about it, and can you believe he said that? Okay. Right. Now, there's stuff that happens in a game. One of the legendary moments was Thomas Hollywood Henderson roughed up Terry Bradshaw in the Super Bowl. I think it was Super Bowl 13. And Franco Harris, who did not play mad, this is not the way Franco is, but Franco is loyal. Franco Harris, a very loyal individual. But he wasn't one of those guys who's like, hey, rah, rah, here we go, because that's not the way the Steelers were. All right? But when Henderson did that, Franco Harris got right in his grill and then went back in the huddle and demanded he get the ball in the next play, and that's the one he went in for the touchdown to put the game away. Now, that moment, like the energy of that moment and so forth, that's different than, hey, Bob said this on Tuesday. Oh, we're fired up. Oh, yeah, I'm glad you're fired up. Well, guess what? Now, maybe that makes you practice a little bit harder the way you should be anyway. But like I say, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in trap games. I don't believe in bulletin board material because I don't care what anybody says during the week, especially people that have nothing to do with the outcome. Nothing. Now, if we can do a show like this and we can give you perspective or give you an idea of what could or could not happen in the game, okay, that's what we're trying to do here. But I don't care what's said in the press conference. For the most part, everybody kind of plays a pretty middle of the road, you know? And coaches and players do more president. I mean, and I've said this before, so it doesn't matter who the president is. Zero. Okay? So please do not take this politically at all. If you do, I question your smarts. Okay? All right? But coaches and players do more press conferences during the course of the week than the president of the United States does. And it doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican, Democrat. I'm not talking about a specific person. But think about it. Coaches and players have to say more words to the press during the course of the week than the president does. So sometimes something comes out wrong. Something does, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. And it's people have different personalities. Some people have a cockier personality. Okay. I mean, do I care what Shakur Sanders said about Matt Rhule? No. And that fired up. He stood on the Buffalo. It's like, oh, for goodness sakes, that took you to fire up at your home opener. Here's one for you. You're trying to go 2-0, and you need. And the guy stood on the logo. Really? It's like that fired you up. Okay, it gave me that edge. Really? All right. Good for you. Here's one for you. Guy about going out winning the game. It's like I don't get it. I know I sound like I'm from another lifetime to you.
No, I understand the perspective.
Just like, yeah, whatever. So, all right, we'll take a break. Right. Matt's all you love controversy. Come on, admit it. You love controversy.
When it comes to this particular job, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It does help fuel the fire a little bit.
It drives you. Right? And I drive you nuts. We'll go back for more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Back here on the Steve Jones Show, wrapping up hour one on this Tuesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Brian Barnhart, the voice of the Illini football team, will join us at 2:06 in the next half hour. It's Penn State in Illinois, noon on Saturday. 10:30 pregame show with the tailgate show on Eagle 107. And then at 2:35 today, Neil Coulong will join us, as we always have Tuesdays with Neil. Oh, I'm curious. Not only am I curious about to hear his take about what he saw with Aaron Rodgers going down last night in the Jets, but the Steelers and how bad they looked week one. I was just stunned. Like I said yesterday, I was stunned by how bad the Steelers and the Giants in particular played. And for the Steelers, I mean, again, this is why, another example of why you take preseason with a grain of salt, but it's just, you saw different improvements with Kenny Pickett alone and just everything about that offense. It was just year two for all those guys, plus a revamped offensive line, a healthy Najee Harris, and you just thought that those things should still mean a little bit of something, even though, you know, it's preseason, things for Nella, whatever. And then everything just took a step backward. So it was just very odd to watch for the Steelers. And now, of course, you got some injuries with Deontay Johnson now out for a couple weeks. Cam Hayward out 8 weeks. So it's tough sledding for the Steelers. And it doesn't get any easier for them because, of course, you got Cleveland on Monday night, who's riding high after a surprising 24-3 win at home against Cincinnati, so they're feeling pretty good right now. Deshaun Watson, obviously, is trying to find himself again and get back to the type of quarterback that he was a couple years ago. And that's a pretty good defense, too, with Cleveland. So even though you're at home, which is good, that's still going to be a tough game. And I don't want to say winnable just yet, but, of course, we all know the stats that are out there. If you start the season 0-2, your chances of making the playoffs are slimmer and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, so I'll be curious what Neil's got to say about Pittsburgh later on.
Can I just one quick note? I didn't really reference 9/11 yesterday. And I should have. With the Mel Tucker thing and the, you know, games and things like that, can I just give just a quick note on that? If 9/11 teaches us anything, is how precious life is. And I know when I look at my class, I realize that they were either, some of them were one when it happened, and some weren't born yet when it happened. But it should remind all of us how precious life is. Thousands of people woke up that day with plans for the day, plans for the week, plans for life. And they never got to have any of that. You had families and friends that had plans for the day, plans for life, plans for the week, and have lived it with the horror and devastation of that day ever since. Just treat everybody great in life and enjoy every second of life. Don't let issues get in the way. Don't let politics get in the way. Okay, don't let anything get in the way of being great to other people. Because you never know in life when something like that will happen. And I don't mean just a terrorist attack, just anything happening. Anything. So enjoy every day of life and enjoy each other and realize how precious it is to be here.